You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. Nothing But Netflix is back for another week talking about a brand new vampire film on Netflix, talking about Day Shift. And now here with a man who, like a vampire, likes to stay up all hours of the night, but he definitely doesn't suck. Here is Chappelle.
Thank you, Rob. I'll take that.
You would be a good vampire, though.
Yeah, I'm always up at night. I think that is kind of, yeah, I think I really like vampire shows for that reason. I can relate to them. Just kind of like, when the sun is out, I'd rather sleep. But when the moon is full and, you know, it's dark outside and the partying is happening, that's where you're going to find Chappelle. So, this caught my attention, Rob. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yes. Okay. Not the first vampire movie we've covered here on Nothing But Netflix. Back in the fall, we covered the movie Night Teeth. That featured a little bit more hard partying vampires. Not too much partying going on here in Day Shift. But here with us, we have an honest to goodness expert in vampire culture. She's also an expert in wrestling culture. And the world of true crime. I'll see if she can add any forensics to the discussion of the Day Shift. It's Mari Forth.
Oh, wow. What an introduction. Yes, I am here to add some vampire expertness to this. That's a heavy title, but I'm willing to do it. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited to talk about a action movie with a little bit of vampires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically.
Whenever I think of vampires, I always think of Mari because I know I get a bad reputation for being up late, but Mari's always awake at night. I mean, she be lurking.
Is that true?
Unfortunately, I spent 4 years working night shift. So even though the last 2 years I haven't, it still kind of lingers. Yeah.
See, I'm surprised because I think I knew that you had worked the night shift, but you were on the Big Brother recap last week and you were talking about hey, is it 10 o'clock? I can't believe I'm here.
Exactly.
It was too early for you?
No, I'd be tired. Yeah. I'd just be up, though.
She'd be lurking. But I've known for a while that Mari was the vampire go-to. Like, people don't know this because she don't talk about it a lot, but this is like her, like one of her like secret areas of expertise. She might actually be a vampire, Rob, and just hasn't told
her. Oh, my God.
No. I age gracefully, but yes. No, I don't.
Mari, I'm not seriously a vampire. Is it about vampires that has brought so much of your attention?
Well, for me, I think it's mostly because I'm a history nerd as well. Like, world history has always been like one of my favorite subjects behind science, of course, since I was like really little. So like vampire culture or vampire like books normally come with a lot of history attached to them and a lot of lore. So if you're a fan of like sci-fi lore, like dragons, Game of Thrones, stuff like that, it can also be flipped with vampires, because a lot of vampire books and films and movies normally come with a large lore and history to them. And that's what really draws myself, what I'm drawn to, and why I like read lots of different types of vampire lores, vampire series, books, shows, all that good stuff. So it's mostly the history that draws me to it. It's like, how do we get to this place? How do we get to like people being invincible, sucking blood, allergic to the sun, you know?
Yeah. Mark, are you watching the new Interview with a Vampire show on AMC?
So yeah, not yet. No, I have way too much stuff to get through. Hopefully like maybe I can binge it, but I did see that. I did see the new Interview with a Vampire. Interview with a Vampire, it's kind of like overdone. You know what I'm saying? It's overdone. They've only really kind of nailed it once with the movie. Mm-hmm. And normally nothing really spectacular is brought to it. Like, I love Anne Rice. I read a lot of Anne Rice, but nothing has stuck the landing for me yet when it comes to that series. So I would much rather they, like, you know, production companies find other different vampire series to draw from.
Mari, when you say you love Anne Rice, do you really love Anne Rice, or do you like vampire stories? Because Anne Rice as a writer, I'm just not seeing it, Mari. I don't know. What are you talking about here?
Yeah, her writing. Yeah, it's interesting. I love some of her other series better as well. But I like vampires, and Anne Rice like owned that for a while there. Like, she was the main go-to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chappelle, am I remembering this correctly, that you recently said you had a bad experience with Sookie Stackhouse that turned you off from vampire culture?
Listen, the way I hate True Blood, people think I hate How I Met Your Mother, mm-hmm. and people know that I am still not happy with Game of Thrones, but I don't think there's a deeper hatred that I have for a series than True Blood. I just, the way they fumbled that, the way they had mm-hmm. us all in the first half and then just completely threw it all out. I don't want to spoil it, but it is so bad. I mean, don't get me wrong. Drag me if you want to. But mm-hmm. the end of True Blood is a criminal offense and somebody needs to pay. No one has paid for the crimes yet. And if it has a land or Anna Paquin, then that's just who it's going to be. Sookie Stackhouse, count your days.
You stuck around all the way to the end?
Dear God.
Right.
Like, yeah. Why did I do that? And I'm stupid. So I went in and was like, I'll read the book as well. Don't, no, that was, that made it worse. So just please learn from my mistakes. And don't let True Blood turn you off to vampires, because there's some other good vampire stuff out there, Rob. Yeah. I think last year, did I watch Midnight Mass? And I really liked it. I know Mari wasn't the biggest fan of it, but I loved it. And so there's mm-hmm. other good stuff out there. It's just that, you know, Sookie Stackhouse is a criminal. Yeah. She's a war criminal and she deserves to be punished. And give, what is Pamela Beaufort? Give her everything that she desires in life and death.
I've never seen a show like completely disregard like all of the deep, rich history that a book and like outlines, like a world that they completely flesh out. I really thought like Charlene Harris, like, I thought she wasn't a great writer because I started off with the show first. And mm-hmm. then once I read it, I was like, oh my God, they just kind of like, they dumbed it down. They mm-hmm. basically dumbed it down for the audience, which is so unfortunate.
All right. Well, we are here to recap Day Shift, not to do a retrospective of True Blood, but maybe at some point that could be a faux show recap. But Day Shift featuring Jamie Foxx as as the vampire hunter out there in the San Fernando Valley. And I did feel like that this movie is set in my old stomping grounds.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Have you ever ran into Jamie Foxx out here in this area?
Jamie Foxx, I believe you me, Jamie Foxx is not hanging out in the San Fernando Valley. Never ran into Jamie Foxx out there in like the North Valley of Los Angeles.
Yeah. You a big Jamie Foxx guy?
I'm not really a big Jamie Foxx guy. I feel like that he certainly has had his moments, but I cannot say that I'm a Jamie Foxx stan. More Jamie Foxx neutral.
Okay. What about you, Mari?
I mean, he's a triple threat. He's so good. He's an actor, singer, comedian. He hasn't done anything to me, so I like Jamie Foxx.
I'm a big fan. You know, like you just there are not many people as talented as him in Hollywood. It's just so fun to see somebody who is funny, who can sing, who can act. You know, who apparently can do capoeira or something, judging by the stunts in this film. Not to say that he did them all, but you know, at least he can pretend. But so I was happy to see him in this role. But I don't want to spoil my opinion of this movie, but I didn't love it.
Yeah, I mean, spoil away. That's what we're here to do. Full spoilers on Day Shift in case you are like, oh, don't ruin the movie for me. Well, what the hell are you listening to this podcast for? Yeah, listen, go ahead, Chappelle.
I didn't like it. I didn't like it. I was bored. I feel like, I feel like Mari said, this is an action movie with vampires where I feel like Night Tooth. That that was a vampire movie with action, you know, and I like that a lot. And this was a lot of like, there's a lot of fight scenes, some like car chases, all the stuff that you would get from a normal action movie. And then there just happened to be people with teeth. And I'm just like, you know,
Chappelle, I'm really surprised to hear you say that, because I feel like that compared to Night Teeth, I don't remember that much. I remember like car chases maybe in Night Teeth, but I feel like that this was like The Matrix in terms of the amount of fighting that was in this movie.
Do you want to hear my opinion of The Matrix?
No, I'm not saying that The Matrix. Listen, I'm not a Matrix defender, especially after the sequels. But I mean, I felt like that. Wow. They really went all out with all of the fight sequences in the movie.
It's not about the fighting to me. I felt like the general like feel of the movie was more like Mari said, like an action movie. Whereas like I think that Night Teeth had a feel of like a vampire movie. Like it was at night, obviously. But then it was like the party scene. You know, it's like those are the fun vampires that I like. The ones who are like have some type of criminal underground that they're like masterminding, and there's like a hierarchy that they're trying. They've been alive for billions of years, and nobody there's like a 17-year-old who's here, but they're also 1 trillion years old who's running the entire community. You know, like that kind of stuff is the cool stuff that you get from vampires that we really didn't see here.
None of it. I completely agree. Like if you went back and CGI'd all of the bad people's faces during those fight scenes, like to normal faces, it would just be a regular action movie because nothing else in the plot was really vampire-y. It was all like, oh, we're just fighting vampires. But if you scrubbed all of that and Jamie Foxx said, we're fighting the cartel, it would be the exact same movie. Like the plot was not dependent on these people being vampires to me, at least not enough. And Chappelle is right. We got absolutely no vampire lore, even though they alluded to it, but didn't even like deliver that. Now that really got him.
Yeah, that is a good point that they really did not establish the world so much. You're sort of thrown in that Jamie Foxx is a vampire hunter that is sort of like under the guise of that he is a guy cleaning pools, and you're with him on like his first mission or in the movie, and he ends up like he's in a fight sequence with the vampires. For some reason, vampire fangs seem to have some sort of monetary value in this world. Never explained why and to what end, why the vampire teeth are valuable. It's not like that this is like some sort of like power source or that you could be like ground up into like some pharmaceutical. Just they're worth money. Don't worry about why. Don't worry about who's buying them.
My thought process was the teeth themselves weren't really the currency. It was just proof that you killed a vampire. You know what I'm saying? So when he removes the fangs of the vampire and he takes them to go to see his backroom dealer friend, they start to analyze the teeth. And basically what it seemed like, the older the teeth were, means the harder that vampire probably was to kill, the more profit it was. That's how I took it. But now that you're saying it, maybe it, like, I just thought of it as like, here, this is proof that I went up against a really big vampire. I killed them. I have their teeth, and now pay me for my work. And that's how I took it.
Yeah, I'm probably in the middle. I had no clue what to take from it. I couldn't tell if maybe there, because we talk about a union at some point. So I didn't know if there was like a vampire hunter union to where it's a sport, you know? And so that's what, like Mari's saying, you're turning it into like, I was like proof of like the big game that you killed. But then at the same time, I was like, well, you know, why is this an international union? You know, like what, yeah. Why are there so many rules and codes and regulations? And why can you get kicked out? And, you know, why is there a back alley for this as well? Like if he's going to a pawn shop basically to sell these teeth, mm-hmm. what does the pawn shop person care about? Like, oh, you got a big one this time, I'll throw you some money. How do I benefit from having these teeth? So are they using the teeth? And maybe they did outline it, but when I tell you I was so bored throughout this, I might have missed it.
Three of us wouldn't have missed it. Yeah. I feel like this film had a very strong anti-union message of like, hey, the union is a bunch of bureaucracy, red tape, a bunch of people just trying to like, oh, you're not following the rules.
Yeah. About halfway through, I started even thinking like, is this even the right podcast to have Mari on? Because Mari is a famous cool breaker. Okay. And so I was like, maybe we got the wrong one. Go get Matt. Where's Matt Scott?
That's funny. If I'm the rule breaker one, we're in big trouble here.
Yeah, a lot about like the code of the vampire hunters, which is like some sort of a union. But, you know, again, everybody's out there looking for the teeth. You get the teeth and it's almost like it's like in Vegas, like you go to like, here are my chips. Can I cash in? And there's like a mm-hmm. dealer there, the teller. They're going to give you like a stack of cash for the teeth. So somebody is profiting from these teeth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Before you start, Mark, I want to point out, if you did not watch this movie, when we say code, we don't mean like a code of like honor, right? We mean like a literal book of rules and regulation. And it's like Uncle Cliff's rules from P-Valley. Like there's a rule for everything. Ain't no crying at the pink, Mark. For me, that's kind of the most frustrating part about it. It's like, why? Why is there all of this? And I don't think they ever fleshed that out for me.
Yeah, exactly. So they call it the union, but it's basically feels like vampire police, right? It's like they're the vampire police. They're vampire hunter union, we guess, because it's never fully fleshed out. It's like, tell it to me like I'm five, because mm-hmm. you have 2 hours. Like, even if you have to regurgitate it to me, I'm fine with that. You know, they're like, he's like, oh, you know, we had that obligatory, like in the buddy cop movies where he goes to Seeger, the head of the union, is like, gosh, dang it, man. You're so reckless. That's why we kicked you out. Like, again, like any of this could have been a regular action movie. But then we get all the codes and regulation. It felt like just like vampire police, and that's not really fun. Vampire hunters have been done way better in way different mediums, like better than this. Like vampire hunters reduced to basically police is like that's like baby-ish. Like that's real pedestrian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like that the role of the union is like, I guess that to prevent like civilian casualties and like make sure that like not a lot of like collateral damage happens in the pursuit of these vampires. But for whatever reason, Jamie Foxx is not allowed to be in the union. I guess you get paid the best for the vampire teeth if you're in the union. And because he ends up being in a financial crunch, he needs to get back into the union by way of his buddy, Big John, a.k.a. Snoop is here.
Yeah, the dog father himself shows up in this film. And my dad hates Snoop Dogg.
Why?
I'm very clear.
I really don't know. East Coast?
No. My dad's from the deep south. Third coast, baby. But my dad hates Snoop Dogg. So when I saw him, I had a good chuckle because I was like, there's no way he would watch this film. I don't know what his beef is with Snoop, but I was happy to see Snoop here. I really thought maybe he was going to bring like a comedic element to it, because Snoop Dogg has done some other, you know, movies and stuff where he's been more comedic. In this one, he did not. I don't think Snoop was funny. I think Snoop was kind of like the straight man in this one. Yeah, he showed up in his cowboy hat and his cowboy boots, and he was Big J, the you know, the vampire hunter. And it seems like he got a lot of clout, you know, whereas Jamie Foxx is trying to get back in the union. Snoop can literally just like pull all the strings to get you wherever you want to be, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah, Big John, the black cowboy, right? Like, mm-hmm. he looked pretty cool in it. I mean, no matter what, he, you know, I really thought that first part was all we were going to get a Snoop. The ending was pretty funny, but yeah. But I liked it. I liked the he's so tall, and then the leather with the hat. He looked cool. I liked this cameo by Snoop. I popped.
I was waiting to get some sort of a like backstory of like, how did Jamie Foxx's character and Snoop Dogg, like, how do they have this bond? What happened to them? Well, like, why is like Snoop willing to go and like vouch for Bud, Jamie Foxx's character, so much? And then even at, like at the union, they're like, okay, if Big John says you're good with us. But no, we didn't, you know, maybe in the prequel. Yeah.
It was so passive. They go, oh, God damn it. We know y'all serve together, but that's it. Big John, we can't keep pulling all these strings for you. Like, serve together in what? The military? In the Empire School?
Yeah. Bartending college. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We just don't get backstory for those things, Rob.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Big J gives him the tips too. He gave him the tip for that bowling alley, the bully alley vampires, that led them to the bowling alley vampires. So, I mean, he was a through line in the movie.
Yeah. A bigger part than I thought he would be. I really thought he was just going to be like a pop-up cameo and then just disappear. But no, I think he's highly decorated in the vampire hunter community.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We've talked about how they don't really establish the lore in this movie. But Mari, were you following anything about like the five different types of vampires? Is that like a thing that this movie made up, or is that like a real thing?
Completely made up. Like, so that's the thing. Like, I don't mind if you make up your own vampire lore. In some cases, Twilight, looking at you, that was stupid. But like, you gotta explain it. So they just told us there's five types of vampires: Eastern, Southern, Uber, Spider, and Juvies, right? I'm like, okay, great. Let's get into that. They told us a little bit about Juvies, about them basically being like young zombie vampires that are like newly turned and all of this. I was like, okay, that's pretty good. The rest of them are just kind of like, nah. Like, it was like little pieces, but nothing to tell us like, you know, is this a reference from where they came from? Like, it just, what does the spider vamp do? Like, that sounds pretty cool.
I think that they're the ones that sort of like walk on like all fours and like, and do like all sorts of like acrobat, like walk on their hands and like bend their feet over their head.
Oh, that makes sense. Like, again, walk me through it. Tell me, tell it to me like I'm five. Like, that would have been a cool part, because after that really big scene where all of them are coming out of the walls and stuff, that's when they're like, well, that's an Eastern, that's a Southern, that's a spider. It's like, could you not have said it while y'all are fighting them, please? Like, I don't, and I know like some people are like, why would you just want your characters randomly yelling things and stuff like that? But it's kind of like, again, this has to be world building. If we're really talking about vampires, like people who really are into vampires go in with a certain set of expectations that you're going to tell me how this world got here. You know what I'm saying? Because vampires are not a natural phenomenon of our natural reality. So I would like to know how we got to the point where you guys know vampires exist and you are now at the point of hunting them and what it is. Like, they didn't give us any of that, so I don't know. I was like, so you teased us with a little bit of lore and story, but then you didn't follow through.
I agree. I think I watched Twilight, right? I saw the first one, I promise, and I remember thinking, this is so dumb, I don't care about this. But then, like, someone told me to go read the Wikipedia or something like that, because I thought about reading the book and I was like, absolutely not. But I read the Wikipedia page and it was one of those things where it was like, there was so much more to it. You know what I'm saying? They started talking about the backstory of the Cullens and like all, like how they were made. I was like, oh, this is the cool parts that doesn't matter in the movie. Mm-hmm. But like that's the kind of stuff that I wanted to know. Like, why are you a billion years old? How did you get here? How did y'all meet? Like, I want to know why you were a vampire and how, you know, and like where your power stems from. And so in this movie where they just throw out these random titles for them, I'm like, okay, but yeah, well, what does that mean? And there are portions of the movie where you get some backstory about it, but it's few and far
between.
Very
little. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Mari, I was left wondering, like, are vampires a issue throughout the world in this movie, or is this just like a Southern California issue?
Right. You have to assume that it's worldly, because I think they said that the union was international at some point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to assume it. But yeah, they didn't really tell us. And like I said, when we got back after that big scene and they were all like, oh, they normally wouldn't nest together, why are they all here? Like, that wasn't even explained either. Because I started to think, okay, so are they coming specifically to Southern California to do something, to like team up and rise up or do something under that, the one lady?
Yeah.
They didn't really say anything about that either.
I thought that the explanation for that was that Audrey, who is a big realtor. Yeah, and I thought that she had been like come up from Mexico, and she seemed to have like worked her way up through the real estate industry and was buying up Southern California real estate in the valley to get like to have all these places for these vampires to live rent free. So I guess that they wouldn't normally do it, but she was sort of like had like sort of like a vampire like tenement that she was like putting everybody in just to live there to eventually like rise up.
That's what I'm saying.
What?
Yeah. Or why? Yes. Yeah.
She was building her army.
Slumlord.
She was building her army. So she, of course, needed to buy up all this property. Like, oh, God, a landlord is like the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. She's buying up all this property and she's putting the vampires in there. And then she's developing a sunscreen so that they can walk around in the daytime sometimes for like 20 minutes or so. Like, they, in case the war gets hairy and they ever get in the sunlight. But this was like, we caught her at the beginning stages of her plans. And normally when you have these wars, you have like an established group that's going to fight another established group. And they were like, no, let's still go nip it in the bud. It doesn't even need to take off. We're going to go destroy all this now. But it didn't seem like the vampires were inherently evil. You know, it just seemed like they were living there. And it's like, because they are valuable, they're just being hunted. Like, not to humanize the vampires, but there's a moment where even the union rep, Seth, played by Dave Franco, he says, you know, these vampires used to be humans. That doesn't bother you. And Jamie Foxx is like, no, they're horrible and they're liars and they're evil. I'm like, but it seems like they're at home minding their own business and y'all are showing up and shooting them. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Fair points. We do have some like vampires that are good guys ultimately in the film, and we can talk about that. But you mentioned the sunscreen also. And I thought, considering the movie is called Day Shift, the sunscreen comes up in passing a couple of times. I thought this was going to be kind of a big plot point in the movie.
Right. So I'm annoyed. This is kind of where like vampire lore, and I'm annoyed because the whole point of being a vampire, right? It like, you're supposed to not be able to go out in the day, but that's like rudimentary. Normally, vampires are dead. You are dead during the day. That's the whole part of being undead. Like, they are dead during the daytime. They cannot be animated during the daytime. So that's why they come out at night. That's the only time they can come out. That's why they get their immortality. So if vampires can be up during the day, they just need a little bit of sunscreen and can go out with a big umbrella, then what is the downside from being a vampire? Like, that is the whole also point of vampire lore. It's like there has to be a downside to being immortal and like beautiful and having to feed on people. Like, if there's no downside, then everybody would just want to be vampires. Mm-hmm. This is why I didn't like Twilight, because of the glistening skin.
And, it was cloudy, Mari. It was cloudy outside in Fort Washington. Yeah. It makes sense.
No, it's Pacific Northwest. Not. Yeah.
No, yeah. They should be dead. They should be overcast. Unanimated during the day.
The cloud.
Meyer herself said she didn't research a scrap of vampire culture before she made those books. She just made everything up. And I'm like, I don't like that. And so, like, what is the downside? What is the downside if you can be up during the day? You can do everything you need to do inside, I guess, during the day. And then, like, that was kind of one gripe I had, is like not having to feed off of humans. Again, like, if you don't become a ravenous murderer, why should I worry about becoming a vampire? I could just become a vampire and keep living my life if I can just drink synthetic blood or live or consist off of animals, Twilight. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's one thing that really always goads me when it comes to vampires. It's like, if they can still do the things that they did when they were living and with just minor inconveniences, then this isn't a vampire story. It's like beautiful people with fangs to me. So, but yeah, sorry. I said all that to say that sunscreen was mentioned twice and they're like, oh, here's a big jug of it. And then they just tossed it. It was just like, do we not care? We don't care. We don't care at all. Mm-hmm.
Just vibes here.
Another big part of the movie was that, so Jamie Foxx has an ex-wife that is, I want to make sure, are they separated or this is, are they actually divorced?
It seems like they're separated. I think he refers to her as his wife. And I think the teacher at some point is like, your husband is late again. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're still together by marriage. But they are not living together.
They're separate. A little audacious. She's selling the house without talking that through with him. But so big plot point of that Jamie Foxx, that while he's a vampire hunter, he's a very good dad basically his life is his daughter and that his separated, his estranged wife is estranged. Is that separating?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah.
They seem like they estranged.
Yeah. Her name's Jocelyn. She wants to move to Florida. Her mom is basically going to put her up in Florida. And so that he needs $5,000 to pay for the daughter's school. And then also money for braces. I'm not sure why the braces was also like on the same footing. Like, okay, I need $10,000 because my kid needs braces. And also I got to pay for my kid's school. Otherwise, my wife is moving to Florida. But anyway, that's what really he's going to put his life on the line because he needs this money so his daughter doesn't move away. All this time, his then wife had no idea what he was doing as a vampire hunter. Chappelle, was this believable at all that he could have been doing the, like, we see his house, his entire house is devoted to building contraptions to capture vampires. How could he have been doing this? And Jocelyn had no idea.
Yeah. This is tough. This is tough for me because on the one hand, yeah, there is no reason why she shouldn't suspect something. The problem is that she does. And I'm assuming that's why they're not together, because she tells him when she sees him, like, which lie is it this time? Like, you got to go work early to do your pool cleaning, in quotation marks. Like, that's what you're doing. Well, where were you at this morning and all this other stuff? And I'm thinking, how did y'all end up married? Because he had to have been telling you these lies from jump. You know, like, this seems like this has always been his career. I don't know if vampiring has just taken off recently again, or maybe he was retired and he's back in the game, but it just felt like, ma'am, you should have already saw this coming a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, the man has 5 locks on the door, 5, this, you know, like a chain, a bar, like a deadbolt, like all the things. And then you're like, yeah, but I feel like you're up to something. Yeah, he's up to something while y'all were dating. He was up to something when you get married, when you had the kid. At no point was he not a vampire hunter from what we understand. So I don't know how they got this far, but apparently she's fed up. I mean, if at the very least, she should think there's some type of infidelity going on.
Oh, yeah. That would be the first thought. Yeah.
Which she probably does. But yeah. But at the same time, they're still married. So it's like,
victim blaming.
Right. I just feel like we should hear both sides of the story this time. Like, man, what are you hanging around for? Yeah. You know, like, what are you doing here? This man shows up with scars and bleeding everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
And you have nothing. You're just like, I just feel like you're not being honest with me. Like, yes, girl, stand up.
Well, I wonder if he had that apartment the whole time that they were married. Oh, that he that's where he keeps all his vampire stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like that's the only explanation, because there's no way when they were still living together that he could have had all of that stuff in their house and she not know. So that has to be the only explanation, which would also point to Chappelle's logic. Like, she had to have thought that there was something going on, and she alludes to it in the show when she finds out he's a vampire hunter. She's like, oh, so that's why you've been having a late night, and that's why I'm divorced from the man I love, because you're a vampire hunter. Like, yeah, that feels like an occupation you can't like keep to yourself.
Right. It's like going to the Big Brother house and lying about being a hypnotherapist. Like, eventually it's going to come out. Just one of those things where the kid's at least 10 years old, y'all. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, he's been doing this for 10 years. 10 years, and you just now like, oh, it does make sense that you have something else going on. Like, right. Duh. Right. Why are you still talking to this man?
It seems very reckless that, you know, you would not want to tell your significant other about the vocation that you were in, which is incredibly dangerous, where the vampires will try to follow you home. Like, hey, just so you know, I got to tell you something. If you see anything weird, all right, this is like part of my job.
Mari, we've seen this though in like spy movies, right? The people who are like I'm a secret agent, but my wife and kids have no clue, and I just like sneak off and do this thing, and then I come back home and I'm a family man. Like, that happens before, right?
Yeah, all the time. That is like the backbone of spy movies. We're trained to think that if you're in the CIA, you can't tell nobody. So it makes sense, and it goes to our point that this could have been that movie. Mm-hmm. That truly could have been that movie without the vampires. So Jocelyn, played by the wonderful Megan Good. Mm-hmm. You know, she was there. She did her thing. You know, for this part.
She looks so good. Oh dear God!
But she's Megan Good.
Megan, great.
Yeah, he could have handled that better, for sure.
In the movie, when we see Jamie Foxx's character Bud goes to the union, basically he gets assigned a person to sort of like watch him, like a hall monitor, to make sure, because they would just want to bust him so bad, find out what rules and regulations he is breaking. He gets partnered with Seth, who's played by Dave Franco. I have to be honest, I had no awareness of Dave Franco before this movie came on. And I feel like he is the brother of James Franco. This is a little bit like finding out about Frankie Jonas. And I actually found out there's a third Franco brother also. A bonus Franco.
Yeah, Tom Franco is somewhere hiding right now as we speak, right? I used to be a big Dave Franco fan, just because there have been some roles that I have seen a lot of myself in. I don't know if the actor is very Chappelle-like, but in the past, I think he was in Scrubs. I remember that when he was in that last season of Scrubs, the one that no one talks about. Like, it was like when they did like the Scrubs normal run, and then they were like, and we're bringing back Scrubs, the new class. And he was basically an idiot. And I too. But then he was also in 21 Jump Street, where he played an idiot. Mm-hmm. I think he was in Neighbors. Like, basically, anytime he's an idiot, I'm like right there with him. And I'd have to argue, Rob, this might be my favorite Franco.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's a low bar.
Yeah.
Low bar for the Francos.
Yeah. But he's here as sort of like the comic relief in the movie. He has, some funny moments in the film. I felt very bad for how things ultimately go for Dave Franco's character, Seth.
Yeah, especially since it was kind of weird to see it coming. Like, I thought it was very funny. He perfectly nailed being technically the straight man while also being funny, because he was like a funny straight man to Jamie Foxx's action hero. So it strangely really worked out. And I really like that. And I think it's because DeFranco does normally do these airhead roles or these very comedic roles, but he's asked to play like an administrative assistant basically and be uptight but also be funny. It culminates a lot with him peeing his pants a lot at a lot of the hunts, completely not being able to fight off any vampires. Like, dude, come on. Not wanting to touch guns. It's a very, very funny role for him. And I just thought that it was a perfect balance. And then him, you know, full spoilers, him being turned into a vampire at the end of it, I did not see any of that coming. I was like, oh, wow. But then again, like I said, if there's no consequences to being a vampire, it doesn't really matter, because he still was able to keep his job afterwards and all good, be able to control himself after being bitten mere hours ago. Like, so annoyed.
Yeah.
But he did a great job.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Like I said earlier, I don't think they ever established that they're inherently evil. So it's like, now that he's a vampire, yes, he's going to want to eat. But at the same time, I was like, aside from that, if he keeps it under wraps, I don't know why he can't continue to keep his job. Like, you would think at some point they're going to find out that this man who's sitting at the front desk or at some point in the union is a vampire. Like, but a bunch of vampire hunters walking past him every day while he sits next to Carol, who's stealing his yogurt. Someone is going to know. But, yeah, they never really established like the downside. So he just kind of turns, and he doesn't turn at the end, Mark. He turns halfway through the film for no reason. Like,
yeah, exactly. There's
like a 40-minute fight sequence at the end where he's a vampire. And I'm just like, why did y'all do this to him? What was the reason? We don't really know. It's just like Jamie Foxx needs some backup from some people with some good fighting skills. And apparently becoming a vampire not only makes you super strong and super fast, but you have the skills of the best martial artists who ever lived, because these people are fighting their asses off. Mario was the perfect guest for this, because I've never seen so many wrestling moves and counterattacks.
I saw several Hurricanranas, and not just when I was on Chappelle's Twitter.
Always watching. Always watching.
Yes.
Shout out to my Jamaican homies.
Yeah, exactly. It was weird.
I was very confused about one thing. And Mari, maybe you can help me understand this, because I am not a vampire expert. So multiple times throughout the film, Jamie Foxx's character Bud has like a secret weapon. That he has, like, I'm assuming, like, some kind of, like, silver dental floss. And so he uses, this is a secret weapon, he gets the vampire to run through the line and decapitates them, and they are dead.
Yes.
Where Seth, Dave Franco's character, he gets his head chopped off.
Yes.
And not a problem. He is able to survive that. He puts his head back on his body and ultimately completely heals. So is that a me thing? Did I miss something, or does this not make sense?
It's a little bit of both. So they set up their own lore and then they kind of disregard it. Because they state in the show that Uber vampires require a stake to the heart, like a wood to the heart, and then wood to the heart first, and then silver to the neck to behead them. That's how you put down an Uber vampire. Dave Franco's character was turned by the main lady, is what we're told. He's turned by the main lady, who is an Uber vampire. So apparently, because he's turned by her, he gets those same properties. Mm-hmm. For me, I don't like that. I truly don't like that. Because to me, Uber vampires seem more like legacy vampires or older vampires. So they should get like more special powers than even recently turned vampires that they created. But it's whatever. They said that's how it goes. So when Jamie Foxx removes his head, because he didn't stake him in the heart first, he doesn't die. And so then we find out, well, if he just puts his head back on, he drinks some blood, he heals, you know, he'll heal. We just didn't get enough. We just clearly didn't get enough of the rules here, even for them to give us a little bit of rules and then feel like they kind of broke it a little bit. So Yeah, that's basically it. You got to have that stake to the heart first and then decapitation. And this is in line with most vampire like lore, how you kill them. It's always a stake to the heart, removing the head normally and burning them. Like they pointed out,
those are
ways to definitively kill vampires. So it's, at least they didn't like really deviate from that.
Yeah, they do at one point. Audrey, the lead vampire villain, she does at one point say that if you take their teeth out as well, they can't regenerate. The way to like basically just defang, if you will, a vampire is just to keep them from coming back. And so there are several reasons, I guess, that they kind of outlined that this should be okay. But it is very jarring to see Jamie Foxx basically just chopping off heads and ripping out teeth the old movie. And then when the one time he does it to a main character, he's just like, no, I'm fine. What are you talking about? It's like, wait, what? And then you're like, oh yeah, 45 minutes ago, you did mention in passing that uber vampires can have their heads chopped off. It's like, well, now I have to assume this guy is an uber vampire. It's like, it's too many pieces that I have to put together. Just tell me, just say it. You should have said, when his head fell off and James Dave Franco's character starts to speak again, he should have said, oh, an uber vampire, you can put your head back on. And I would be like, thank you for explaining that to me, because I missed it when you said it in the car when you were arguing for 5 minutes, you know? And so I understand exactly where y'all are coming from. It just very jarring to see them kind of throw away what you would already think had been established.
I have another question about the plot of the film. Okay. So we have Jamie Foxx, that he lives in apartment 20. He runs into a woman who lives in his building and meets her for a first time. She invites him in. They have like a brief encounter. I'm like, is this gonna be like a new love interest? Like, where's this going? Leaves very quickly. Okay. We find out later on in the film that she had like she was like arguing with a guy who turned out to be a vampire. We find out she turned out to be a vampire. Mari, was she a vampire the whole time? Or did they turn Jamie Foxx's neighbor, who was just minding her own business? Was she even really a nurse?
I was so confused about this. I even went back and I was like, I must have missed something. So you said she was arguing with the guy who was a vampire?
Yes, the guy that then when he goes to the birthday party, he has to take the kids to the birthday party and then just like kills that guy in like 1 second, like when he sees him.
Yeah.
Mari, and she was there?
No, happened was Jamie Foxx had went back home, and when he was getting to his apartment, he kind of glanced through her window because she's in 19 and he's in 20. So he glances through her window and she's arguing with the black vampire with the jacked up eyes. So Jamie Foxx just kind of it just happens in passing. He just kind of glances in there like, well, that's interesting. And then the next day at the birthday party, the guy like drives by menacing and it slows down and you're like, oh, like I recognize him. And so Jamie Foxx's character puts two and two together. I'm sorry. But Jablonski puts two and two together and decides, oh, Heather must be a part of this as well. And that's how he tracks it back to her.
Oh, my God. Great. Because I was so confused. I was like, how? I really did rewind to both parts. I think I just missed that one part. I rewinded to the part where he met her. I rewound to the part where he just busts into her apartment. I was like, how did he get that she's a vampire? Mm-hmm. Wow. That's completely unfortunate because I was literally so confused. I was like, okay, well, and then she was saying like she was forced to be a familiar, but now she's a vampire. Those are two different things, people. Those are two different things. So again, I was very, very confused. Like, and Rob said, was she a familiar first and then turned into a vampire? Was she a vampire the whole time? Like, from what we've seen of the vampires, we haven't really seen, like, I guess the main lady, she presents human, you know, she presents human, except for I think her eyes maybe, but we're told from jump that she's a vampire. So we haven't really seen moments where if it's somebody who is a vampire that we don't know, we then find out they're a vampire. We haven't seen that yet. So I wouldn't even know if she was a vampire when he first talked to her, because I don't know what the signs and characteristics are of a vampire pretending to be human. Yeah,
she's so kind.
Maybe when he first breaks into the pool, the house before he kills the daughter, she just looked like a regular old lady. So I guess it's possible that she was a vampire when she first met him. I don't know. That part was really confusing to me.
If she was just a normal person and then she got turned just because she lived next door to Jamie Foxx's character. Like, I feel like that was like a really bad draw for her.
Yeah,
that sucks. But also, she knew the entire plan. So I don't think she just got turned in passing.
Yeah.
Because she's like, no. Listen, I wasn't a familiar. This woman, she's the one who gave Jamie Foxx the whole rundown of the system. I'm like, so you must have been around for a while if you knew. Mm-hmm. She knows Audrey's whole plan is I'm a realtor and I'm going to stock these houses with vampires to prepare for whatever we have coming. There's a war upon us and we don't know why or when, mm-hmm. but it's happening.
Yeah.
And we're all getting placed here because of that. But why her?
Yeah, what's her plan? Is she just hiding in the laundry room until Jamie Foxx's car pulls up and she's like, all right, now he's coming up the stairs. I'm going to run into him.
I guess she was like surveilling him, mm-hmm. I guess. It felt weird. Nurse
doing all my laundry today.
Mm-hmm. She said she didn't want to work for them. So she was clearly like when she's arguing with that guy, he's probably like shaking her down, you know, like you do this or else. Mm-hmm. But it's like, how many other vampires are living in this apartment complex? Or is it just her because she lived next door to him? Yeah. So she kind of seems like a casualty. Mm-hmm. Her and Seth both are casualties of whatever the hell is going on, because neither one of them had anything to do with this, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I just don't understand why she used the term like she didn't want to be Audrey's familiar, but she's a vampire. A familiar is a human servant to vampires. If you watch What We Do in the Shadows, which is a great vampire show, by the way, one of the best ones, human familiars are basically they intentionally want to serve the vampire, normally because they're promised to be made into a vampire later down the line, or they're in love with the vampire. But the main thing is they're normally human, and your familiar in normal vampire lore, when the vampire is dead for the day, the familiar can keep watch over the vampire's body during the day and go and do whatever they need for them to do during the day and be like their backup. It's the main thing is they have to be human so that they can help where the vampires can't. So her being a vampire, but also saying she never wanted to be a familiar. Maybe she was forced to be a familiar and then made into a vampire, I guess.
That's what it sounds like.
It just felt like they just threw that out there just to throw it out there. I don't know.
And being a familiar doesn't sound that bad, but I don't want to be up in the daytime.
In some of the books I read, Chappelle, you would love to be there familiar.
Okay.
It doesn't sound bad to me at all. I just don't want to be awake in the daytime. Like if it was the opposite, right? Like let's say the world was shifted and the vampires like this is one vampire got the sunscreen and they're like, okay, I'm going to be out in the daytime, but you need to watch my body at night. This is my role. I'll sit up here. I'll wait for you to come back. You can suck on me and everything. Like let's do it. I don't know why. Like it's almost enticing to me. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's got my attention.
It's the equivalent of the Fang Bangers from True Blood.
Fang bang me, you know. Yeah. Look,
but closer relationship, mm-hmm. not just groupies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to see it. You know. I'm just saying, if you're gonna cast me in a role, don't cast me as the vampire.
Exactly.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mari, earlier you mentioned the daughter that is in this movie. Is it kind of daughter? Yeah, that there's a interesting thing that we learned. So Jamie Foxx, in the very beginning of the movie, he fights a woman who appears to be like an old lady. And mm-hmm. then she's an evil vampire. She like has like a big fight scene to open up the movie. He ends up blowing her away. We mm-hmm. end up then later on seeing this woman, Audrey, and she's in the battle with like some like she's like in the middle of like fighting with some other guy that she's going to bury under cement. The guy that she buried under the cement, like he's still alive in the cement. That seems like that. I couldn't stop thinking about that. Yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah.
Because he's just gonna be alive in there until somebody like digs him out of the cement. And then
they did that in True Blood too, right?
Did Chabot? They?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. That's a way to imprison them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's not good. And so we find out later that this old woman was the daughter of Audrey, who is like the main bad vampire. Somebody stole her little girl and then she didn't find her until she was an old lady and then turned her so that she would stay alive.
My thought process was Audrey herself got turned, was taken away from her daughter, and then mm-hmm. it took her a while to find her again. And then once she found her, she was old. So that's when she turned her. I don't remember them saying the daughter was taken. It was just like once Aubrey turned, she had to leave.
Got
right?
It.
Yeah. And then once she came back, she found her daughter, but she was already elderly at that point. Yeah. So she's been gone for at least 90 years.
Well, yeah. Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she came back, she turned her. And so now her daughter can live forever. So, but you mentioned to Rob earlier that the old woman turned into this evil vampire. But again, minding her own business, she was just in her house. Like, I'm sorry, is someone breaking in? Jamie Foxx is like, yeah, it's me. And like pops a cap.
He needs money.
Right. Well, then she like, once she gets shot, she's like, well, it's on. Let's fight. And this old lady gives him the business for a long time before he ultimately gets the upper hand. But she was minding her own business. And so I don't mind Audrey to be, you know, upset about this. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. She seems like she's evil. We don't really know how, but she seems like she's evil.
Yeah.
But I mean, for revenge purposes, this sounds like it's on brand. You know, you killed my daughter, so I kind of want to kill yours and your wife.
That's fair.
Also,
the old woman vampire, she starts off and I think she's like, where's Michael? I don't know if we ever find out who that is.
The second guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He runs the in shortly one. After.
Oh, that's Michael? And what was his relation?
He was there.
A vampire, I thought.
This is another guy?
A vampire, right?
Listen, we haven't figured out this housing situation yet, so we're just having them all live together. They have their roommates, and he runs in to save her, and he's the first one who falls victim to Jamie Foxx's silver dental floss trick that he has. Yeah. Like, he runs in and instantly decapitated.
Yeah.
I was so confused, though, Mark, because, like, I don't know. I've always understood that, like, you could kill vampires many different ways. You know, like you said, burn them, decapitate, wooden stake. But I didn't know it had to be a combination of both, where you have to wooden stake them and chop their heads off. Because
I thought it was one or the other. Yeah.
Right.
Well, they said for them, for specific vampires, the Ubers, you have to do both. That's what I understood. Mm-hmm. They, like, specifically for the Uber vampires, you have to do both. Which, again, they should have established some sort of hierarchy, being like, I'm assuming if you're the Uber vampire, then you are the better of the five. So, you know, but it just doesn't make sense, because the old woman was also doing like, if we're to assume that she was doing all the contortions, like what we would assume the spider ones are doing. So I don't know, man, but she was her daughter and she turned her. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense, because they've not explained it to us correctly. But that's what I took from it, is like, that has to be an Uber vampire, because that's the only way you needed to do both. But did he stake the guy? He didn't.
I think after his head chopped off, he took his teeth out. And so you can't regenerate at that point. I think that's what happened.
Oh my God.
But again, they don't tell us that until way after. Mm-hmm. Like, they tell us that long time later. Like, once you take out their teeth, they can never come back. It's like they made the film backwards. Like, every time they came, they're like, oh yeah, yeah. And this part in there too. Make sure you say this part in this sentence, or it's not gonna make sense.
Yeah, they can't survive because they can't drink the blood without the fangs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think Audrey was played by Carla Souza. And I recognized her instantly from How to Get Away with Murder. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's Laurel Castillo. And she's a badass in this one. I hated her in that show. Hated her so much, but I liked her here.
It's so weird to me that they put her in this stuff and they make her always speak this like half Spanish. Just like, are you trying to remind me that she's Spanish because she's very like white passing? I don't know. It's always so weird for me. when it's like, they really try and put it up front with her.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she like she is Mexican, and you gonna know it. And yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like she'd be like mid sentence and be like "pendejo." You're like, oh my god, Laurel. You know, like where did that come from? But yeah, no, I really appreciate her in this film though. Like I I hated her in that in How to Get Away with Murder, but it was because I think you were supposed to hate her. And so like I think she's really good at what she does. But this role was just it's just kind of really funny to see her like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But her like turning practices are very questionable. Like in the vampire community, you kind of want to get a sweet spot when you turn vampires. Like, you know,
what do you mean a sweet spot?
Like, yeah,
tell us your technique, Maury.
Yeah.
Like she turned her daughter when she was like 80 or 90. Why would I want to be immortal and be like 80 or 90?
Well, I think that was just when she found her. I don't think she waited.
I know. Yeah. I know. But like that rarely happens. Then on the other side, she wanted to like turn Jamie Foxx's 10-year-old daughter. That's even more inappropriate. Like normally in kind of like vampire culture, it's like they very much go by the like, you know, 18, our Twilight fans know this. Like, you know, you're 18 and up, you know, you want to keep it in that like 30, 40 range, 50, like just turning people so young and then turning people so old can have like really bad ramifications when they're like 300 years later.
Right.
When you're 300 years later stuck in a 10-year-old body, like that's it was just weird. I was like, she is on one. She just wanted to build that army, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but it's not unheard of. You like you said, you mentioned in Twilight, I think the head of like that little count, the main people in that vampire council was like 6 years old. If you think about Interview with a Vampire, Claudia was like five, but she was also 5,000 and having a relationship with Brad Pitt. Like, listen, there are reasons why you don't do this. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It looked bad on TV, man. I don't want to see Kirsten Dunst at 9 years old being like, yeah, my first on-screen kiss was with Brad Pitt and it was gross. Like, oh, excuse me? It's burn so it bad. Down. Take its fangs out and burn it to the ground.
And stake it.
And stake it and then chop its head off. Like, you just don't want that. We don't have to do that anymore.
Yep.
Mari, that Jamie Foxx's character Bud said after you get involved with the vampires, you need to scrub yourself with the orange powder. That this is a very important thing. And you have to make sure that you don't get the orange powder near any orifices, specifically your eyes and also the butthole area. He said, really warns Seth's character, do not do that. Seth did not listen. Is this part of vampire lore, the orange powder, or is this a Day Shift original?
I personally have never heard of this orange powder. When I saw it, I was like, I turned to James. I was like, is this like garlic powder or something? Like, what is he doing? Like, I didn't know like what it was. Yeah. I did not know what it was. And that's all that we know about it. Chappelle, is there anything anywhere about an orange powder?
The only explanation we get in this film is that when you kill a vampire or when a vampire kills near you, they excrete like a gas that gets on you.
Oh, yeah.
And then that attracts other vampires, kind of like a killer bee. Like a, right.
Yeah.
And so then at that point, other vampires are attracted to you. And so you have to put the orange powder stuff on you to keep that off of you. And we see Jamie Foxx at the very beginning of the film do that in his shower. Yeah. It seems like it's so painful. And I guess he had all those open wounds. But yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of this before anywhere. Like, if nothing else, you have to acknowledge that it needs to be garlic. From what we understand as vampire fans, like garlic repels them.
Yeah,
but I guess this is just to mask the smell. It doesn't seem like it is a actual repellent. It's just to make sure they don't smell the vampire juice on you.
Yeah, I didn't understand it at all. I mean, mm-hmm. I understood it when they kind of said it, but I was like, this has no frame of reference outside of this movie for me.
Yeah. And Seth let it get in his butthole a little bit. He didn't die, but he said it was worse than that.
It was worse than Bud had even described it would be. So he was really regretting that.
What is it? Like, I don't know.
You think it's just garlic powder? I mean, it could be just garlic powder, right?
But why would garlic powder, what would it do to your butthole? I don't know.
Listeners, if you have some garlic powder, you know what to
do. Might be very coarse, you know.
Oh my God.
Okay. So then You know, jumping ahead to the ending of the movie, we see that Snoop Dogg ultimately sacrifices himself for Jamie Foxx's character to go and save his family. He shouts out the West Coast, West Side. So that he has a good honorable moment. But I guess because that he had already turned at that point, that he is able to survive the bomb blast. And we see him get out of the manhole at the end of the movie. Mari, is this setting up the sequel for Day Shift 2?
I was so confused by that. I'm like, there's no way he should have survived that. And technically, he shouldn't have turned. Because, again, it's not like zombies. It's not like one bite from a zombie, you turn into a vampire. It's normally a blood exchange, a complete insanguination. And then, you go undead, you go dead, and then you reawake as a vampire. One bite by one vampire, and he's still kicking, doesn't really translate to now he's a vampire. He blew himself up. I thought that was the whole thing. Like, he blew himself up, or was it just a UV light bomb? We don't know, because we didn't see it. We just saw like him do his thing, and then we cut to like Jamie Foxx, and we just hear a boom, and you see light. So it was clearly a UV bomb, but we just don't know. Like, I was so surprised that he crawled out of the sewer like that. Am I wrong, Chappelle? Like, normally just one bite from one vampire does not do the trick in most places.
Yeah, I mean, and we see it probably rarely, right? Where you get the, like, I just came in, I sucked your blood, and I left you, whatever. Like, was that Nina Harper or whatever her name is? You know, the original, like, Dracula story or whatever.
Yeah, that's but how then you can be a donor, yeah, and right. still survive.
Right, but now, yeah, now it's like... like, I hate to reference True Blood again, but like, you have to like share the blood, and like, I even have to like bury you or something like that. Like, you have to go, you have to do the dead part of the undead part, you know? And so that was weird, but I guess I'm not really concerned about there being a sequel, because just because Snoop Dogg is a vampire, that doesn't change the plot of the show, because like, they're inherently evil. He can continue to do what he's doing, but now he can just fight better, from what I can tell.
Okay, the other evidence of Day Shift 2 being planned or set up here, there are multiple mentions, Chappelle, to El Jefe. Is this El Jefe? No, this can't be El Jefe. They talk about El Jefe multiple times, and at no point is anything explained about who is El Jefe.
Yeah, that was actually annoying to me. It mentioned it the first time. It's like, oh yeah, like, what do you know about El Jefe? And it's like, I know El Jefe. I know the boss. Like, I know. And I was like, okay, cool. El Jefe is coming. And then I was thinking, okay, Audrey's El Jefe. That makes sense. You know, like, she's been running stuff. She's like, you know, it's always like the bad guy that you don't think is the bad guy. And then you turn out like, oh no, you really, really the bad guy. Like, you the big boss. But then when they get ready to fight her, they just casually mention it. Like, so, is this El Jefe? And I was like, baby, this could never. El Jefe would never be in real estate. Excuse me? Like, we about to go beat her ass, but make no mistake, you ain't ready for El Jefe.
El Jefe's in crypto.
And we never find out about El Jefe and the crypto scam that they're running. You know, like, whatever. We never figured that out. And so, yeah, I'm thinking maybe you need to build like a vampire team that can go with Jamie Foxx to take out El Jefe, right? Because now you have Seth and you have Heather from 19, and then now you have Big
John.
Yeah. And the three of them in cahoots with that brother team, you know, that
the Nazarians.
The Nazarian brothers. Yeah. And then with Jamie Foxx, I feel like if you establish that as like your fighting group, then the sequel could be very interesting.
Yeah.
Because we never see an end to the Nazarian brothers. I thought they were going to be like a mini boss in between the fighting.
They were just part of the crew. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they were at least going to fight over the teeth or something once the killing was done. Like, oh no, we're going to take 60 years. They're like, no, it was just a pleasant partnership. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, that was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You rarely see that. You think like at some point it was like, oh no, they're going to be like, we're taking all of it. And he's like, over my dead body, I got to save my daughter. You know, like, I thought like that was going to happen. And no, they just casually left. They actually seemed pretty nice. It was the actor. We've talked about him on Nothing But Netflix before, but was it not Scott Adkins, Steve Howie, right? From Shameless. And so I was like, oh, look, Yeah, I was like, Shameless coming back, because I was like, I wasn't expecting to see Kevin Ball out here killing vampires, but here we are. And so I think if you bring that team to whatever the Hefe thing is, I think, yeah, you could probably make a decent sequel. I actually probably be more interested in the sequel than this first one, because I think in the sequel, you have the opportunity to go back and explain a lot of the questions we have from the first one, you know, mm-hmm. go and clean up the lore that you created so that I'm more invested in the second one. I think it's possible.
Yeah. I don't think mm-hmm. it would be crazy to see Day Shift 2 out there. Like, I don't know what the status of Netflix greenlighting sequels is, but the movie has been in the top movies for 2 weeks in a row. I don't know how much Day Shift costs to make, but seems like that there's some people talking about Day Shift.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People were adding the Nothing But Netflix account like instantly and saying, you have to talk about this. And so mm-hmm. I thought, you know, like, oh, it must be really, really good. And like, it was cool or whatever. Like, I didn't love it. But I think that there is an opportunity. Like Mari said, a lot of the vampire stuff is about the lore, about establishing mm-hmm. a world in which, okay, this is how it happens. This is how it works. What do we do now? You know? And so mm-hmm. like, I think if you use this to establish some of the lore, you can really build on this as a franchise of movies. Maybe you get two or three out of them. But, you know, Netflix has kind of just been leaning the other direction a lot more. Like, a lot of their popcorn films have been higher budget and more explosive than this. And this mm-hmm. was basically just like a big fight movie. You know, there's a lot of fights, a lot of shooting, but definitely a lot of fighting. So, I don't know. It doesn't seem like the something that they would be interested in, I don't think.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. It was a big, like, fighting and then splat movie. It was, like, a lot of splats. A lot of blood, vampire blood everywhere. Mm-hmm. I liked the contortionist that they had. Yeah. Every person was, like, contorting and stuff. I was like, is this mm-hmm. the ring or is this vampires? It was pretty interesting. Yeah. The fight scenes weren't that bad. They were, you know, I'm not a biggest fan of action movies. Yeah, because again, I like a little bit of plot, mm-hmm. but I didn't mind. I didn't mind like the really, really big fight scene, like with the hive house. I thought that was probably my favorite part of all of the fight. Like, I'm not a big fan of chase scenes and stuff like that. So I like the hive house fight scene.
Yeah, not the hype house. Yeah, I agree. I think that was probably the better action sequence in the movie. I did think that like some of the stuff towards the end of the movie, like when they were going in with Jamie Foxx and Snoop Dogg, it was giving the Battle of Winterfell, where I really was having a hard time even making out what was happening on the screen. So overall, I thought this was pretty fun. I didn't mind it. Mari, did you watch Night Shift?
No, Night Teeth.
Oh, sorry, Night Shift is a different movie. Night Teeth.
I did watch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you prefer Night Teeth to this?
Honestly, when y'all said it, I had to Google it. I was like, oh, I did watch that. I really kind of forgot about it. It was gangs versus vampires. It was all right.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah. Chappelle, was it a mistake not to have uber vampires in Night Shift, considering that the plot of that movie was about a guy who was chauffeuring vampires around Los Angeles?
Yeah, that is very funny. I was looking at this film and the whole time I was watching it, I was watching with the captions on and they kept putting Uber in the proper tense. So Uber with a U, like a capital U. And I was like Uber driver, because why can't you just like, it was the only proper noun in all of those. I was like, why is that? Why are you calling it Uber? Like, explain, you know? And I didn't know if they meant like Uber, like just extra, you know, vampire. Yeah. Or if they actually meant, don't get me wrong, I am dumb, but like there was questions to be asked at that point when you just say, oh yeah, she's an Uber vampire. Like, oh, as opposed to a Lyft vampire? Mm-hmm. You know, like I have questions. So mm-hmm. I just think there are holes where, you know, you could have tidied that up a bit, Rob, but okay. I get what you're saying.
Anything else you want to say about Day Shift?
Nope.
Yeah, I had fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was one of those things you can turn on like late at night, mm-hmm. make fun of it, have a group of people over it and watch and laugh. Like, I really liked it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anybody wants like vampire recommendations for like books and stuff.
No, do it now. No, do it now. Do it now. Because I like, so Mari does the crime scene podcast, as everyone who's listening to this probably already knows. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the podcast, as Rob recently has done with the fruitcake, fraud. Yes. At the end of crime scene, they do recommendations for other properties. Yes, so Mari, as mm-hmm. our vampire expert, I mean, we've talked about your faves, True Blood and Twilight. And Interview with the Vampire, your big three. But what else would you prefer, like, that people look at, or like what other recommendations might you have?
Right. So if anybody's listening to Crime Scene, they might have already heard me recommend this, but I think it's very important. First Kill on Netflix. So good. Unfortunately, we already know it's got canceled, but I think the first season ended well enough that, like, you don't, like, it's fine if you know, it sucks, but you know, it's not like, oh, they stopped at a big, like, cliffhanger or anything like that. But First Kill on Netflix was so good. It had everything. It had the vampire lore. It had the vampire hunter lore. They clearly stated the bounds of the world. And then on top of that, it had, like, black queer representation. And, like, it was really good. It was really good. And the leads were all clear queer representation. So, I loved watching that movie, that TV series on Netflix. Then for, like, books, I would definitely say to read the Anita Blake Vampire Huntress books. They also come in comic book form. The first, like, three books are in comic book form. Really great book series. It has like 25 books at this point, and you can start anywhere because she does a really good job of explaining it. But also, book 10 and up is kind of like erotic. So,
oh, okay, all right,
yeah,
all right.
It's a mixture of romance and it's erotic. The LA Banks Vampire Huntress books are good as well. They have a lot of really good lore with a black female vampire hunter lead. And I think that's a series of six books. And that's author L.A. Banks. She unfortunately passed away, but the book series, it's so, so good. If you like your history mixed with your vampires, mixed with your vampire hunters who fall in love with vampires, because that's always the theme of it, is like the vampire hunter falls in love with a vampire. What do we do now? So, yes, those are my recommendations for, like, some little known ones.
Okay.
And if you want to go back to the beginning, you know, Bram Stoker, if you want to go read Dracula. Yeah. Or
the original. Yeah.
Or if you want to go watch the film, I believe, I think I said Nina Harper earlier, but I think it's Mina Harker. But the story. I went full Bryce Isaiah on that one. I'm like, Nina Harper.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mina, and I think Gary Oldman's in that film as well. Yes. But I don't love the book, but I think the film is a little bit, it's fine. Woo, the driest. Thank you for those recommendations. I'm going to check some of those out. I didn't realize I was a big vampire person until we started having this conversation.
It sounds like you're hoping that they're real.
I mean, if they're looking for a familiar who will work at night. See, that's my problem. That's my problem with my regular job. I don't mind working. I just don't want to work when you want me to work, not you.
Yeah.
More than you. And so, yeah, like, I would do the familiar thing if I had to.
Yeah. Why don't you work night shift?
Because they won't let me. I decided to go be a teacher. Oh. And like, oh, wow. You want your kids at home at that time. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. But and then Midnight Mass, like I said. Mari didn't love it. Yes. But I did. I liked it a lot.
It wasn't that bad. I loved all of the lore and stuff about it, but just the long monologues just kept taking me out. I can't.
Nah, they was acting, y'all. I loved it. I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, this is good stuff. But it's on Netflix too. And so check that out. Mm-hmm. Rob.
What we do in the shadows on Hulu, on Hulu and FX. So great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'm just wondering, has Mari been the most frequent guest on Nothing But Netflix?
Hey. It'll be a battle between Mari and Kirsten at this point, I think, for supremacy, you know. I think three apiece, right? Probably for both of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming for that crown, Kirsten.
Yeah.
We got to send her a wombat hat.
I forget the name of the Korean dating show.
Singles Inferno.
And then we also did the crime scene crossover Yep. We did this. Mm-hmm. Is there another one?
No, I think this is the big three for Mario.
Okay, the big three.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But yeah, the fans love Mario. We're lucky to have her whenever we get her. So, you know, I was very excited that she would agree to this, even though I pretty much voluntold her that we were doing this. So, Mario, be ready when it's time. So.
Mario, how many hourglasses for day shift?
Yeah. I'll give it a solid three.
Three out of five.
Three out of five. Yes. I liked it. I liked it. Lots of problems, but very solid. Like, I would suggest people could turn it on and just have fun.
Okay. All right.
I'd give it 2.5, Rob. Yeah. Rob, the movie was too long. You could have cut out at least 25 minutes of this movie from the fight scenes and the car chase. Like, they could have all been shorter. It's just too long for you to not give us all of the lore that we want, right? For two whole hours, you could have fit in the good stuff. So I'm not as high on it as y'all were, but it was fun to talk to y'all about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Chappelle, next time out, we said it's un-August, and this was about the undead. So this counts. We talked about the Uncharted. We talked about Uncoupled. did you watch any more Uncoupled?
No, I didn't end up going to finish it. I'm going to finish it just because I know that it's probably going to get better. It's just this week was a very busy week for me. And so I haven't had a chance to. But I'm going to finish Uncoupled. But now we need to find another un for an August because we're wrapping it up. This is the last weekend in August? We'll be done after this.
Yeah. Okay. So the one that I think that we are both zoomed in on is Untold, the Manti Te'o story of the girlfriend who didn't exist.
That's a pretty dope, like lead in, you know, a title like the Manti Te'o story of the girlfriend who didn't exist. Like,
I added the Manti Te'o story. The Manti Te'o story is not in the title. It's Untold, the girlfriend who didn't exist.
I mean, it was a crazy time. I remember when that was going on in the real time. And so, I think Netflix has done exactly like they brought this story that a lot of people probably have forgotten about. And it seems like it's a very hot topic right now. Everyone's talking about it. I've reached out to the people over at 32 Fans to see if they would be interested separately. And so
this is their busy season.
This is their busy season, from what I understand, but I would really like for one of them to come on as our guest. And so we're going to see what happens. You have to put in a good word for us over there with those people. You know them well.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can get Akiva or Chester to join us. That would be fun to talk to them about the Manti Te'o story.
I hope it's not too sad because it's not happy. You know, like we'd like to keep it light here.
But nobody really died.
Yeah, but still, people's mental health is important. So I'm fully prepared to make fun of whatever is about to happen because I remember in the past it was heavily joked about. But also, we were a little bit meaner back then. Yeah. I think,
it was like the first Catfish. If it wasn't for this, the whole term Catfish and the show Catfish that Nev owes his whole career to Manti Te'o.
Yeah, I don't remember which one was first, honestly. I don't remember
I believe Manti Te'o was first.
You think he was before Catfish proper?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I still can't believe that his whole career was derailed because of something that had been going on the internet for years that just people didn't have a name for. So Catfish the movie came out in 2010.
Oh, okay.
And this happened when? This was 2012?
Yeah, so maybe the movie existed, but maybe the TV show didn't exist until Manti Te'o. Because the TV show starts in November 2012.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't in the lexicon at that point.
Yes.
Right. It was just a thing that happened, but then it really took off. You know, once I think it's one of those things where when you see it on TV the first time, you're like, oh, that's a crazy thing that happened to that one person. But then when it happens to something as huge as Manti Te'o, then you're like, oh, wait, this is a big deal. You know, this could go really far. People can get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, in a lot of ways, it could be funny, as we've heard with you talking about Catfish with Maggie, Rob. Mm-hmm. But I think that does get the ball rolling. And so I think we would be foolish to not talk about it on Nothing But Never.
We got to. All right. Mari, what's coming up for you?
So, of course, every Tuesday you can catch me and Sarah Carradine bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. We just dropped a really good episode doing the most hated man on the internet, and we had a great guest, the guest Camille Dodaro. She was actually a consultant on the docuseries, and she was in the docuseries itself. So we got a lot of good inside information about Hunter Moore, the most hated man on the internet. So definitely go check that out by going to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed in order to subscribe to us there. You subscribe, you get your true crime on Tuesdays, and then it drops in the main feed on Wednesdays. Right now, me and Matt are on a hiatus, like we are love to do. Go follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, and follow Matt at Matt Scott GW to know when we come back with the wrestling wrap up. Looks like we'll be back in about 2-3 weeks or so. So just go and follow us so you know when we're coming back, and go subscribe.
Clash at the Castle.
Host Clash of the Castle. Yes, exactly that. Okay. And go subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed in order to get notified when we drop our next episode. And that's it for me.
Okay. Mari, great job. Always great to have you here with us on Nothing But Netflix to bring some knowledge to whatever Chappelle and I are talking about.
Oh, mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So glad. I love talking with you guys. So I'm so glad I could be here.
This was a fun one. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Well, Rob, P-Valley sadly is over. I'm no longer talking to Bryce and Dr. Sharia. Look, I know Mari's sad because we love that show, man. Mm-hmm. So I'm no longer on the Purple Pants podcast, but you know, for the sake of Bryce, still check that out. Bryce is still doing some good work over there. But Never Have I Ever is back, Rob. And so Sasha, Joseph, and I are talking about it on Silent Podcast. We've already released our first episode of the recap of season 3, episode 1 of Silent Podcast. And so, of Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast. So check that out. Subscribe to Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast feed or the Silent Podcast feed, wherever you get your podcast, because Sasha and I are going to have a good time breaking that down. Also, The Walking Dead is back again, but yep, not The Walking Dead that you remember.
Yeah.
Not your mom and dad's Walking Dead, y'all. This is Tales of the Walking Dead.
And you liked it.
And I liked it a lot, honestly. The Tales of the Walking Dead caught me completely off guard. I go from talking about vampires on here to zombies on there, but episodes 1 and 2 should be out by the time this episode drops, podcast drops. And so we would have already released this. So check out.
Yeah, I want to check that out. That sounds interesting.
It's good. It's easy to watch. It's an anthology series, so you don't need to know a lot of the backstory, a lot of the lore. And they use a lot of A-list celebrities. Jessica Lise did a great article as well for The Walking Dead, and Tales of the Walking Dead and what's to come. So check that out. Follow her on Twitter at HeyMakerHattie to see that article. Give her some clicks. Tune in to me and AJ Mass and Jessica Lise and Josh Wiggler talking about Tales of the Walking Dead every week on Post Show Recaps. And then, of course, follow Nothing But RHAP on Twitter and tell us what you want to hear us talk about here on Nothing But Netflix. It's a good time. And me and Rob really appreciate the 5-star reviews and the feedback for the podcast. But that's it, Rob. I'm just hanging out, waiting to talk to you. I think I'm talking about Big Brother soon, so that'll be fun too.
Okay. All right. It'd be great to have you back with us talking about Big Brother, plus everything else we have going on over at robhasawebsite.com, including coverage of all your favorite reality shows. And make sure you check out everything we're doing. robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.